When I was 14 years old, I decided that I was going to be a rabbi. That was my calling in life, and everything that I would do from that time on was to accomplish that goal. And throughout the years, everything that I did was with that singular goal in mind, to become a rabbi. And everything else stopped mattering. The people in my life that I looked up to, the people that were the most dynamic, charismatic, popular, were all rabbis, because that was the world that I surrounded myself in. I did not get a high school diploma because that was not important to me. That would not further my rabbinic studies, my Talmudic studies. What was important was that I focus on this one goal of becoming a rabbi. And after, I guess, high school, which I did not graduate from, I went on to rabbinical college, and then I studied in Israel for a year, and then I came back here and I got married to a girl who wanted to marry a rabbi. I don't know if anyone could tell, but I'm not a rabbi. I was 21 years old when I got married, and just don't do that, if anyone here knows anyone. At around 22 and a half, 23 years old, I realized that I really didn't want to be a rabbi, and I kind of developed that idea at a really young age because the people that I looked up to were that, and I didn't possess some of the abilities, like sitting still for an extended amount of time, and hearing people's problems. Jesus Christ. So I'm having this existential crisis, and my entire marriage is predicated on me being this dude that I can't even grow a beard, so that was like out of the question. And there was that, my marriage. We decided at some point we're headed in different directions, and we called it quits. And here I am, I'm 24 and a half years old. I don't have a high school diploma. I have no training in anything whatsoever. And I'm fucking broke. I had no money in my pocket for the first time in my life, and I called my mother, who has a relatively successful business, and I said, I could use some money. And she's like, it's done. Like, the well has dried up. Go fucking figure it out. And that honestly was the best move she could have done, because I'm like, well, I don't know how to figure it out. Like, help me. You're my mother. Guide me. She said, go flip burgers at McDonald's, man. Like, do whatever you got to do. And so someone connected me to this real estate company that owned a few thousand apartments in Baltimore, and I started leasing apartments, because one thing that I knew about myself was that I could sell. I'm good at selling shit. So I'm not very athletic, and at Little League, when everybody was playing baseball, I had a little cooler of sodas that I bought from Rite Aid for 25 cents a pop, and I sold them for 50 cents. I mean, that's a great markup, right? So I decided that I could sell apartments, and I started as a leasing manager for more than one property, and people would contact me through ads that I posted on Craigslist, and I'd end up most of the time sitting in empty apartments waiting for people to come that would never actually show up. And that's where I thought, this is where life was taking me. I would be capped, and I had this big dream of maybe potentially one day making 50 grand a year, because in my mind I had to lease this amount of apartments a week, and that, and you know, this is where I was going to cap off. Around that time, someone introduced me to my previous boss, and that was a life-changing experience. And they said, listen, you have to meet this kid. He's a great salesperson, and with a little bit of training, I think he could become something. And the only thing is, he doesn't have an education. And he said, well, what does that mean? He doesn't have a high school diploma. And to which my previous boss responded, neither do I. He makes between $3 and $5 million a year. And I know that. I shouldn't know that, but I know that because, well, I know that. Anyways, our initial meeting was in a Dunkin' Donuts on a Friday afternoon. I was wearing jeans and sneakers, and I'm waiting for this guy to show up, and he shows up in a Lexus Jeep, like one of the big ones, when you know someone's compensating for something. And he rolls in, and he's this like shortish guy, but just a personality that's like larger than life, more than any. He just rolls into this Dunkin' Donuts. He's like, how's everybody doing? Good to see you. And he's just waving at people from behind the counter, like they're right here, but he's waving at them. How you doing? Good to see you. Nice to be here. Nice to be here. Can I get a coffee? No milk, no sugar, just the biggest coffee that you have. I'm like, okay, we sit down, and I'm I'm like taking it all in, and he's like, but he doesn't let me. Okay, you're Yitzi? Yeah, I'm Yitzi. Okay, here's the deal. If you come work for me, the first year you can make $250,000. If you're good, obviously, if you're good. Right? The second year you can make $500,000. By the third year, if you're good, you can make between $3 and $5 million. So, okay. In my mind, this is like a Nigerian, like, Craigslist scam, you know? Like, somebody hooked me up with some dude that's full of shit. You're going to ask me for a deposit now or later. And so I said, okay, give me the weekend to digest. And I made a few phone calls to some people that were affiliated with him and his business. And they said, he is as high octane as it gets. If you stick with him, which most people cannot, he burns through, you know, junior brokers and people that work with him, like, faster than anybody, but if you stick with him, you're golden. For 2.5 years, I got him coffee, I picked up his dry cleaning, and together we closed over $100 million in real estate. And that was a life-changing experience for me for a lot of reasons. It gave me an opportunity that I otherwise should not have had. It opened up opportunities for me, and it exposed me to people that I should not have been interacting with. But I'll just tell you very quickly about the first day that I was with him, and I showed up to the office, and he said, here, just sit here, this is your spot. And it was just a small table in his office, and I just sat there, and I didn't know anything about anything, and I said, do I have a computer? Oh, we should get you a computer. Could someone get him a computer? Right? And he said, like, the company that we were working at has been acquired by Capital One, so it was a very corporate atmosphere, right? He's just screaming. So okay, they got me a computer. Okay, you good? You have a computer? Okay. And now, what else should I do? He wasn't explaining what I do. I didn't know what he did. So I said, how about this? Look, I see you're on your computer. How about I just sit behind you? I know it's one of the most annoying things in the world when someone sits behind you when you're on a computer, but how about I just sit behind you and just watch you work? Okay, you want to watch me work? Come watch me work. So I sat behind him, and he's Googling massage in Bethesda. Okay. I was grateful at that point that he wasn't Googling happy ending in Bethesda. So he gets on the phone, he picks up the phone, and he says, I'm looking for a massage. First of all, I need to know, are you the best place in Bethesda? Yeah, yes, sir, we are the best place in Bethesda. Okay, I need a deep, deep, deep tissue massage. Can you make that happen? Sir, I think we can make that happen. What time would you like to come in? 3 p.m. We don't have an opening at 3 p.m. And he stopped. No one says no to this guy. So it was like a new experience for him. And like his expression was just like, what the fuck is going on? So he took a beat and he goes, okay, who is number two in Bethesda that I can get the second best deep, deep tissue massage? This was my first experience, the first day on this job. I've progressed past that since then. I think my metric was always who is getting more from this relationship. And because he wasn't an easy guy to deal with, and there were times where I get calls at 3 or 5 in the morning, be at my house in 15 minutes, we're driving to New York, and we go to New York and back in one day, and we traveled all around the country. And you know, I think my experience has been that when people are as good as they are, when you get to a certain level, there's also a certain degree of crazy that comes with it. And I was having to absorb a lot of that craziness, and it was really hard. I had nothing else in my life going on at that time. It was just him. I was married to this man, and I kept telling myself, this is it. I don't get another golden ticket. This is my one, and I'm going to make it work no matter what. And no matter how much abuse and how hard is it and how little sleep I get, I will fucking make this work. And everyone kept saying, how do you put up with it? How do you deal with it? No one has ever been able to be in his employ for more than 4 months. And I made it to 2.5 years. And again, my metric was always, who is getting more out of this relationship? And at some point, 2.5 years later, he started to be the one who was getting more out of that relationship. And at that point, I walked into his office and I said, thank you very much for everything, but it's time for me to move on. And I did. And today, I am my own broker. I work for myself. I obviously work under the umbrella of a company, but you know, the first day that I worked for the new company, and I logged my first deal. I was very excited. My first day, I logged my first deal. And I got an email that said, your deal has been logged. And the name on the deal was Yitzi Hallen. That has never happened to me before. And that was such a powerful moment for me. And it kind of brought, you know, I went from this is it. This is I'm going to sit in empty apartments hoping people show up. To your deal has been logged, Yitzi Hallen. That was the moment that I knew that I don't know what comes next, and I don't know what the one thing that I've learned is that you can't plan. Shit just happens. Today, my wonderful girlfriend is sitting right there videoing me. I could not have imagined in a million years that I would end up with anyone like her, especially anyone that looks like her. That, and if you meet her, she is the most wonderful and sweetest person in the entire world. Things that have happened to me should not have happened to me by any measure of anybody's imagination. And that's the one thing that I've come away with from this story is just, you can't plan because shit will happen, good and bad. And at the end of the day, great things can happen if you will and work for them to happen. Thank you very much.